Island Church in Galveston, Texas welcomes you to our podcast. We trust that you will be encouraged by today's message.
Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you, Lord, for your word, that the entrance of your word is life and light. We thank you, God, that you challenge us. Holy Spirit, that you're not just here, but that you've fallen. We thank you that we leave encouraged, that you provide revelation, wisdom, and knowledge, Lord. And God, we just thank you for this time. We don't take it for granted. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 So, happy Valentine's Day, everybody. Awesome. Okay, so tonight I want to talk about, Pastor's been talking about the Holy Spirit on Wednesday nights. Tonight I want to talk a little bit about seed time and harvest, which is a spiritual law, right? We've got natural laws that govern the natural world, like gravity, right? If you jump off a building, you're going to hit the ground. We have law of displacement that we sometimes talk about where, for instance, if you have something in this water, right, and you try and shove something in there, it'll displace the water. It'll come out every time, right? That's just the law of displacement. But we also have the law of faith, which is actually a spiritual law. Remember, faith is a law. It works. It has to work. It actually works whether or not you believe in it. And I'll put it to you this way. Everyone is born and operates in faith. And it's either faith for the things of God or faith for other things. And by default, they offset each other. What I mean by that is if you're not believing God for something in your life through faith with him, you're believing by faith against him with anything else. And that's what? Doubt, unbelief, that type of stuff, right? So when it comes to seed time and harvest, if we look at Genesis chapter 1, God initiates that on the earth. He talks about how certain fruits will produce seed, and then they what? Reproduce after their own kind, right? And so in understanding that, I mean, just to put it plainly, like if you have a watermelon seed, right, and you plant it in the ground, you're not going to get an ear of corn, right, in what, when you harvest, right? So whatever it is that you're planting when it comes to, like I said, seed time and harvest, it's you're going to reap that. And, you know, as human beings, I've talked about this before, but God created us from the dirt, right? So, I mean, if you look at our composition, like phosphorus, nitrogen, hydrogen, I'm going full out nerd, but hydrogen, phosphorus, oxygen, those chemical compounds, right? Well, if you look at the dirt, it's the same thing. That's why our flesh, when it decomposes, it turns back into dirt. That's a biblical principle. But what I mean by that is we were made to produce harvest. We were made for seed time and harvest. And that comes with the seeds that you're either that you're placing in your heart. And a lot of times what we mean by seed time and harvest, for those of you that don't know, it's God's word. When we have our offering and we make that confession and we have, you know, our finances or money or whatever, we're actually, like Pastor says, we're wrapping that money or whatever around God, the actual seed, which is God's word, right? Amen. I mean, I guess back then they had to pay for things with like chickens and stuff like that. So they would sow differently. But I'm trying to get you to realize that money's really an inanimate object. It's just a thing. And the actual thing that's going to produce fruit in your life is a seed that you're sowing, which is the word of God. Amen. So and just a little bit more, if you go to Matthew 7. I didn't tell you to pull it up, but Matthew 7, verse 15. And I'm in the New King James. I think they'll pull it up. Maybe. Matthew 7, verse 15. Pastor talked a little bit about wolves Sunday. That was awesome if you were here for that. If you weren't, you need to listen to it. Even if you were, listen to it again. It was that good. Matthew 7, verse 15. It says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits." That's a key phrase right there. "You'll know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes and thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them." Jesus repeats himself. Anytime Jesus repeats himself, it's worth looking over and understanding. But listen, that's not complicated, although it was sort of a tongue twister. That's not complicated. You are what you're sowing, or you are a product of what of not sowing God's word and whatever else you're sowing instead. If we were made to produce, in the way I say that, like our soil, right? You cultivate the good soil of your heart so that when you're receiving the word with the right heart, it actually can germinate, or it can conceive something in you, and then you give birth to it later. Amen? So when, and I know this is review for a lot of us, but when it comes to seed time and harvest, you have to understand that whenever you are believing for something, whether it's any promise in the Word of God, let's say, I know for me, when I was a new believer, I didn't know about healing or finances or anything like that. And so what I did was I would take these scriptures, I would take these confessions and say, okay, I want to start to do this Christian thing, this God thing, this believing thing, this faith thing, this seed time and harvest thing. And so I would take the scripture, I would pray, I would believe God for it. And as Mr. Roland said, you know, it takes faith. It has to be mixed with faith. So what would I do? I would basically try to plant the seed in my heart. And the cool thing about God is he gives you opportunity to water it with more word, with other believers to agree, to water it with, I mean, honestly, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, whatever you're praying about that thing, God gives you this ability to have this river of living water flow through you to water this word that's in your heart, amen? And so I would go through these promises, and one by one, God would check them off the list. He would give me opportunity in life to where, okay, the natural circumstance says that you have no finances, but God's word says that I'm provided for. So when those things would arise, and in the natural, I would look to the seed that was sown, and I would say, okay, I believe you, God. This has to bear fruit. It's if it's seed time and harvest, just because I don't see it yet, it's because I haven't gotten the harvest yet. But it's a principle it's your word that you've sown, and you can't go back on your word. You do the opposite. You watch over to perform it. Amen. It doesn't come back void. And so, when I say this, especially when it comes to a faith, is a lot of times, and I know personally, and I'll share a testimony here at the end. But when it comes to the faith part, because we have the scripture, we go to a church like this where we're taught the word, how to walk through these things, how to walk these things out. You have that scripture, you're confessing that scripture, and then it starts to grow inside of you, and then trials come, right, to where that word gets tested. Anytime, you know, the enemy can only attack you at the level of the word that you have in your heart. That's why in the garden he didn't say, hey, Eve, I need you to kill Adam. No, she said, just go eat the tree, because that's the only word that they had been given at the time. So whatever word that's in your heart, I don't like to talk about the devil a lot because he's a non-issue. But he's going to come for it. Whatever it is you're believing God for, you should expect it to be tested. You just should. I mean, that's just the way it is. Because even though it's tested, if God said it, that settles it, right? Whatever you're going through that's trying to pluck that seed out of the ground, it's not going to happen. But that takes faith for you to realize that. That faith what? It's in the unseen, not the seen. So let's move on. Let's go to Genesis 8. So seed time and harvest. I kind of hammered that one in. I want to talk about how once the word is sown and you have it in your heart, a couple of setbacks that can come up. The first one would be basically, I mean, you don't understand the principles. You don't know how to believe for those types of things. And that just takes growth. That just takes, like what I mentioned earlier, when I first came here, I said, okay, I'm going to confess it. I'm going to, right? That's just your basic walk at the beginning. The second thing that can come up, well, and a little bit about the first one, too, that process of just growing with God. Well, this one's a tough one. But basically, if we're if we're producing all the time, that's the way we were created. I mentioned the soil, right? The bus. What types of things are being sown into you that you aren't really taking care of or being aware of? And I'm not going legalistic on you, but think about, like, the shows you watch. Think about the books you may be reading. Think about some of the things you see on the news. Think about what you talk with other people about in your friend groups and things like that. Now, seemingly, they don't seem like that big of a deal, right? Because you're like, oh, well, I'm a believer. It's not an issue. I can handle that. And we can. And you know, if you can, that's awesome. But I'm not telling you to avoid these things. But you have to remember that at some point, and this world is designed to go against the grain of God. Everything is. If your own mind is an enmity to God, meaning that it's not left to its own device, it doesn't travel with God, it's not parallel with God, it goes against God, right? If you just let it do what it wants, born again or not, it's not going to line up with God. It just isn't. That's why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10:5, it says to take every thought captive, bringing it to what? The obedience of Christ, who is what? The Word of God. Amen? And so just be mindful of that stuff, what you're letting in, because even though it's not, and it could be really subtle, it could be, you know, some of these kid shows. I watch a lot of kid shows because I have kids. But some of them, like the attitudes that they portray, not even what they're saying, but the attitude that they have, say, towards each other or towards a parent. I was watching something the other day and I was like, oh my goodness, like this kid's a brat, you know, like this, but that's what the show was. And it was, you know, all fun and games and it's funny, but I got kids. So, and then a week later, my son Elijah says something. I'm like, that was from that show, right? And so, like I said, probably not that big of a deal, right? It's not like he cussed at me or anything like that. But what happens when you sow something? If that is a principle that happens all the time, right? That seed gets sown and then left unattended, especially, I like to think of the seeds of this world as like weeds. They don't need water to grow. They don't need encouragement. They grow no matter what. Just they do, right? So in the same way, if I let that thing go in my own kid, right? What's gonna happen 10 years from now? When that thing keeps producing fruit and I don't check the roots, I just let it do what it needs to do and it does that make sense? Amen? So we have to be mindful of those things no matter how subtle they are. And we're at a time right now where the spiritual, I guess realm is the best way to put it, is at an all-time high. That means for God and against him. What I mean by that is I'm getting prayers answered like crazy. You guys should be too. Yeah. But but in the same way, who do you think's fighting against that? I mean, if you haven't experienced any type of, and Pastor called it up the other day, I think it was oppression or something like that, where it just feels like things are just screaming at you. Old things that you thought you dealt with. Yeah. Amen? We just have to be aware, all right? That's what I wanted to say about that. But if we turn to Genesis 8, the second thing that I wanted to talk about in reference to seed time and harvest and something that could be a setback, Genesis 8, verse 21. So the second thing that I wanted to talk about was, it basically has to do with what we're thinking about, your mind. And, oh, sweet, I'm here. It says 21. This is after God's wiped the earth, right? Noah's parked the boat. Everything's good so far. And God levels with Noah. And he says here, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, there's that principle again, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease. So God already has put seed time and harvest in place in the beginning. So really, he's just repeating and reinstating. He's like, look, these things are going to stay the same. I know I wiped the earth. You and your family are probably is all that's left right now. But just a reminder, I'm not going to do this again. Here are these principles that we're going to live by, these spiritual laws. There we go. So the word I want you to look at in 21 is that word imagination. Now, I want to talk a little bit about that today. So in the Hebrew, the word imagination in this context is yetzer, Y-E-T-S-E-R. And what that word means is obviously imagination, but it also means your mind. It also means another definition of it is like framework. And then another definition is figuratively conception. Now I'm going to talk a little bit about how these kind of come together and why that imagination is important. And before you check out, imagination is not just for children. I have to say that. What you're really thinking about is fantasy. You're thinking about fantasy, like Star Wars, and I love Star Wars, I'm not knocking that. But I'm saying you can't confuse it with fantasy. Imagination is, it's the same, so this same word is used in Isaiah 26, verse 3, where it's, he gives to them perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon him. That's the same word, imagination. So what are you thinking about? That's really all that is. Imagination is something that's used all the time, whether you agree with it. Well, I'm too old for that. I don't sit there and daydream all the time. Well, let me ask you this. If I were to say dog, I'm sure you have a picture of a dog in your mind, all right? Or Chihuahua, what are you thinking about? Black Labrador, right? So it's a joke, but I mean, really, what comes to mind? The things that I'm telling you. And that's all empowered by what? Words. So you think in pictures. You just do. That's the way it is. Anytime you're, and you meditate, what? In pictures, right? If I were to ask you, how many windows do you have in your house? You probably don't know off the top of your head, unless you just count them. But you can walk through your house in your mind and figure out how many there are right now, if I gave you time. That's how powerful your imagination is. That's why this is important. But what is your mind stayed on when it comes to things like this, all right? Cool, and then you go to, I'm just checking my notes because I want to stay on time tonight. So who's perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him, right? So if you're not having perfect peace in any situation, whether it's finances, healing, or whatever, or the promises of God, or things like that, that you're believing him for, your mind isn't stayed on him. And you say, well, yeah, it is. I'm quoting scripture. I'm doing, yes, you can do all that stuff, but you can also do it, and you're on the side of caution with this, but in fear instead of by faith. What I mean by that is you can, I've been in situations where personally, where I was believing God for something and thank you, Lord, that you've given me a spirit of wisdom, revelation. Like I was trying to convince myself through his word. Now, there's nothing wrong with doing that as long as you don't stay there. But there are times where we actually can quote scripture and use all those things, but we actually do it with, I don't want to say the wrong heart, but in fear. You're like, well, and then you go back and you see that promise wasn't fulfilled and you say, well, what happened? I said all the scriptures. I prayed. I had a bunch of people agree with me. Why didn't it work? Well, one of the reasons why I think the seed time and harvesting gets tricky for us is we'll plant the seeds. At the moment, we'll be really excited about it, on fire for God, right? But then something happens in between the moment that it is, and I want to use what this the definition of this imagination word figuratively is conception. Something happens when this thing is conceived, right? In between when it actually gives birth in the natural. Now, if we look at Hebrews 11, you can pull that up. Verse 1, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, right? The evidence of the unseen. Give me 1 second. Let me pull it up. Oh, sweet. Oh, no, I thought you had it up. Come on, Abby. Nice. Okay, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Keep going. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. Next slide. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen are made of things which are not visible. So everything in this world is motivated, created by the unseen, by God's word, right? So much of our battle when it comes to believing God for something or walking in faith doesn't happen in the seen, it happens in the unseen. So I talked about imagination, I talked about conception, right? And how we get really excited about what God's doing, and then we get this promise, whether it's like you're at the beginning where I was believing God for something like basic, I didn't understand finances, so I was like, okay, Lord, what is this tithe thing? Show me what this means. And then he started to, you know, show himself to me. Or you could be at a different stage where God may have told you something. You're obeying the generic will of God and he tells you something specific, like, hey, I need you to sow this amount to that person or to this building or to whatever, right? And then in that time where you've conceived this thing with God, something happens in our minds where the fear can just rise up, or just the uncertainty, or circumstantial things come up that are completely opposing to what you're believing God for. The reason why that's so tricky is because we let our minds go off into that place. We start to imagine every single other thing other than what keeping our mind stayed upon him, our imagination stayed upon him. Amen? I have, let me just make sure I got all this. Okay, so when Elijah, our first son, I have a son, he's four, right? Yeah, four. Yes, I'm checking with my brother and sister-in-law. Four. Kayla's not here, she's working tonight, so praise God, she would have been upset. But yeah, he's four. So when we first had Elijah, so we were at an interesting time in our lives. We had been married a year. Before Kayla and I got married, we dated for, I think, like 6 years. We dated a while, but 4.5 to 5 years of that was a distance relationship. We lived in different states. I was stationed in Arizona. She lived in Texas. We saw each other maybe 4 or 5 times a year, okay? And so when we got married, that first year was actually, I would say, more challenging than the 4.5. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean that because we were newly married, we're new roommates, we had just moved in together, which are two, right? And then the third thing was we were new believers. We had just started coming to this church. So we were doing kind of everything at once. And after that first year, we were at the point where everything was going really well, right? We had believed God for everything that we, in our relationship and in our lives and just everything that was going on. At the time I was in nursing school, she was a nurse in the NICU, and we were ready to have a kid, mainly because God said so. But we were praying. We've always wanted kids. We wanted kids since before we even met, since we were kids. So it was never an issue. So whenever we knew that, okay, this it's coming. We want to start having. We want to have kids. And so it was November of 2018, and I was in prayer. She was at work. I had just come home from class, so I was praying. And the Lord had said, Kayla's pregnant. And I was like, okay, cool, that makes sense. That adds up, especially because, you know, we were trying. And so I go by the pregnancy test, and Kayla comes home, and I'm like, hey, I think God spoke to me today. I think you might be pregnant. And she just, I thought she would be excited, all right? But she goes, no, I'm not. And I go, well, why don't we find out? It's my body. I would know if I was pregnant. And I'm like, this did not go the way I thought it would in my head. And so I was like, okay. I was like, well, why don't you just try one? You know, we'll see what happens. And she's like, all right, but I know. I would know. And I'm like, okay, cool. Sure enough, she takes the test and it's negative. It says she's not pregnant, right? She's not pregnant. And so we leave it at that. I'm like, okay, I missed it completely. I was wrong. Okay, cool. So November goes by, December goes by, typically a busy time because we're traveling a lot with our families to see our families who don't live around here. And then also, you know, finals with school and things like that. And then in January, we go on a ski trip. And so it was just jam-packed, really busy with a lot of different things. And February comes around. It was like the second week of February, right? And we were getting ready, to, I think, to go out to eat or something like that. And she asked me, she says, hey, do I look like I've gained a little weight to you? And so I don't need a word from God. I don't need spiritual discernment on how to answer that question. So what do? I just played dumb. I was like, oh, well, you know, we had Christmas, Thanksgiving. There's a lot of snacks, a lot of desserts and things. So if you think that, I don't think that, but if you think that, that might be the reason why. And she's like, okay, yeah, you're right. And I got out of there, man. I changed the subject. I was like, let's. So anyways, she, then the following week, I'm studying for an exam and she comes down and she just slaps the pregnancy test right on the table. And it says pregnant, and then I start crying, and she starts crying, and we're just both in the fetal position, just crying, and we pray over her belly. We're just excited, right? Because this is lining up exactly with what God had promised, right? So the week after that, we go to the clinic, and at the clinic, they run the test. And yeah, sure, she's pregnant, absolutely, yes. You're in your first trimester, right? When do you think you got pregnant? Kayla's like, 4 weeks tops. It can't be more than 4 weeks. You know, and she's like, all right, cool. So they run a scan, and I'm in nursing school, okay? So I kind of have an idea of what's going on. But as they're scanning her belly, right, I'm like, man, this must be the best scanner I've ever seen. I can see a head. I can see the neck, the arms, the leg. I can see a spine. I'm like, that's crazy. That's really close. And I look at the thing, and it says 16 weeks. So she was 4 months pregnant. And so I'm over here like, I don't get it right away. It kind of just slips over me. I was like, okay, 16 weeks, that's not, all right. She said 4, but whatever. And it didn't process. And so she's like, yeah, let's start talking about your second trimester. And I'm like, what is, and so on the drive home, it hits me and I'm just quiet. And I'm driving and I'm thinking to myself, what do we do? Like, where do we go? Is there a place for people like us? Like, what? Kayla just doesn't care. She's calm. She's like, oh no, it's no big deal. But if we date it and we look back, it was the same day that God had told me she was pregnant. The reason she didn't notice is because Kayla is a superhuman, and all of her pregnancies have been fantastic. You can never tell when she's pregnant, right? And then it just, she flourishes, right? But we had found out that when, and I went back, I followed my bank statements about to when I bought that thing, and it was to that day. That was when God said she was pregnant, she was pregnant. And you know what happened? You know what we made the mistake of doing? We took something in the natural that told us she wasn't, and we went with that. But here's the thing. Seed time and harvest, folks. If God said something and you conceive it in your heart, nothing can stop it. There are many of us right now that we've just either given up or been discouraged by something God placed in your heart along. You know it was Him. You know it was Him, but you're not seeing the fruit in your life. Let me ask you this. What type of seeds are you sowing? How are you honoring the seed that's already been sown? Are you using your imagination? Are you walking? This new building that we have coming up, I've already sat in the sanctuary. I'm being serious. I thought, okay, this is going to be my spot. I've prayed it through. I know it sounds, you're not supposed to have spots, but I mean, I do. But do you understand what I'm saying? I've already been in it. What has God promised you? What have you been meditating on? Have you seen it? Because the Bible, we saw Hebrews 11, if everything in the natural is formed by something in that you can't see, where are you spending your time when it comes to the things you can't see? Are you focused more on, and here's the thing too, after that conversation with Kayla and she took the test, and the reason why it didn't pick up is because it was literally that day. It was literally, well, the day before, whatever. It was just that then. So the test couldn't pick it up. But what I'm saying is, why did we go straight to something else when God had said it's already done? It's happened. We do that with so many things in our life. But here's the thing. She was just as pregnant at the moment of conception as she was 9 months later when Elijah stepped foot on the earth. That means that His promise doesn't depend on anything other than His promise. And how much faith you want to have in that. Amen? And so I say all that because there are times, especially for me in my life, where I've used that for myself to where I was like, well, remember when this happened? When I'm believing God for something new, I'm like, it really doesn't depend on what I think about it. Now, depending on the situation, obviously this was childbirth, so 9 months, it makes sense. But you might be believing God for something that hasn't come to pass yet. I mean, there are things that take years. I mean, I love that he brought up, Mr. Roland brought up Abraham and Sarah. I mean, have you ever waited 20 years for a promise? That's a long time. Some of us can't handle 20 minutes. I'm just speaking personally. But what happened? They actually tried, right? Sarah's like, hey, what about Hagar here? Why don't we try? You know, he said seed. He said, you know, that there'll be kids. Maybe it's not me. Maybe it's her. And both of them were so disconnected from the seed that God had sown in their heart. In their imagination, they weren't seeing it in the supernatural. They weren't meditating on it. They had no peace, and that's because they didn't have their mind on God. And to both of them, that seemed like a good idea. And I heard a guy say this, and it was awesome, but he said it was the right seed, but it was in the wrong womb. How many times does God, He places this spiritual seed in our soul, in our souls, I mean, really, the soil of our souls, because that's where it sits, right? If everything comes from the supernatural, it's the way that it is brought to this earth is through our soul, and then we speak it out of our mouth, right? And then it comes to us. The promises of God, that's how it works. That's seed time and harvest. He had placed the seed in their soul, and what did they do with it? They neglected it. They decided, well, why don't we just try something in the natural to you know, what? But it seems crazy to us, but we do this all the time, where God tells us something, or His word promises us something, and we get discouraged because the doctor says, well, I don't know about this because, you know, this is what our test says. Or this is, I'm not against healthcare, but you can't let that rise above the word of God in you. You just can't. And there are gonna be times where they clash. That's the whole point. They're not made from the same system. Yes, they can benefit each other, but the idea is that you grow more in God, not grow more in the things of this world, right? Same thing with finances. I mean, there are going to be times where you look at your bank account and it doesn't line up with the Word of God. I don't look prosperous, but here's the thing. They don't line up. They're two different systems. Amen? You can't see it in the natural and then say, oh, okay, that's what God's talking about. It's here in the natural, so there must have been some seeds. It's not how it works. You sow the seed. There's time in there, and then you receive the harvest. Amen? And so I'll close, but what I want to leave you guys with is understanding one thing, that the law of seed, time, and harvest, the spiritual law, it's there. It exists. There's nothing that can stop it. Now, which side of that law you want to be on is up to you. The second thing is, when you decide to follow God's will, right, to walk in faith, to have him plant those seeds into your soul that you're supposed to be meditating on, focus on them, rehearse them. I can't tell you, after we found out, after 4.5 months, she was pregnant for 4 months. We didn't even know it. We couldn't even tell. There was that one time where she asked me if she looked fat, and I was like, I'm not going to answer that. But that was really the only time that we kind of thought about it, right? But what I'm saying is, after that, you know what we did? We took our scriptures, we took our confessions, every single night we said them together, we talked about what he would grow up to be like, we talked about playing with him, we talked about the birth. We planned, we said, you know, no medication, no nothing, it's just gonna be this glorious thing. For me, when he came, it was like everything had to line up with the way I had already seen it with God. Does that make sense? Everything, like in the natural, the best way I can explain it is, I wasn't that much of a surprise to me. And when things started to come up, and they did, especially when he was born and they said he had sepsis and he could die and we want to stick this needle that's this long in him, what was I standing on? The word that God, the vision that God had already given me. To me, I was like, no, I'm not doing that. I wasn't even angry. They were like, well, we think that, and I'm like, that's great, but that's not the way God said this was going to go down. And they took all the tests. Actually, we like nixed half of the list that they gave us. I was like, Kayla, you go through and tell me what you like and don't like. She's like, we can do this, 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 and this. We nixed half of it, and every test came back negative. They were like, no. It didn't surprise me, but look, what does Pastor John Osteen say? What did he say? He said that you store up the word in you when you don't need it, so that when you do, it's there. The Holy Spirit can't bring to remembrance everything that Jesus has said if you haven't put anything into remembrance. There's nothing to draw on. Amen. And so but in that time where we knew, I was like, okay, God said it. Clearly we missed it for half the pregnancy, which is okay, right? But we are going to do this deliberately. And that's what we did. We focused on it. We even were careful, guys. We even were careful who we talked to about it. Even family. We knew, I'm not talking with this about, I can't talk to them about this. Look, it's not because I don't love them or care about them. But it's because I was using wisdom. I was like, man, they might say, I remember, you know, so-and-so had this type of issue. I'm not even gonna talk to them because they're gonna bring that up. Amen. And that it's tough because you're like, well, they're family. Like you got, yeah, I get that. But even people who have your best interests can still accidentally lead you in the wrong direction because they don't have the revelation that you do. Amen. That's pretty much all I had. Mr. Roland, you want me to shut it down? Okay. Praise God. Were you guys blessed? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Let me go ahead and pray us out. Father, we thank you for the word tonight. We thank you, God, that for this spiritual law that you've set in place. Lord, we thank you that as we pray, even tonight, we look through our lives, we examine them, and we say, God, what seeds have I neglected that I need to bring back up, that I need to nurture? Lord, what seeds are you planting now? And God, any seeds that don't belong, thank you that you helped me assess my root system and uproot them and take them out. Father, we also thank you for our imagination, Lord, that your word says to keep our minds stayed upon you. So we make a deliberate effort from this point on every day, Lord, to spend time with you. And Lord, to keep our minds stayed upon the things that you've conceived in us, Lord, with your word. And through that conception, until we birth it into the natural, we thank you, God, that we focus on them, that we guard these things. Lord, these aren't just words from other people, they're words from you. So, Father, we honor them, and we thank you, Lord, that they will reproduce after their own kind, and that's you, God, your spirit through us. Father, we thank you that that we're safe tonight, Lord, that you bless our going down and coming in. Father, we thank you for getting us home, yeah, safely tonight, Lord, that we have rest. God, that, yeah, that we have an awesome week. Lord, we thank you that here at Island Church, covered by the blood, empowered by the word, and anointed by the Holy Ghost, God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Island Church's podcast. To find out more information about Island Church in Galveston, Texas, visit our website at islandchurchgalveston.com. Hallelujah, Jesus.